We're in Angaston at the Town Hall. I'm with Elizabeth and Bill Sibley. And thank you for coming down. Can I ask you both, please, if you can have a think of any very early childhood memories of your days in the Barossa Valley?
My very early days, well, I was one of four. I've got two sisters not much younger than me. And we lived out of the town. And I guess one of my early memories was actually riding to school on my little tiny bike in from where we lived. We lived up on Valley Road, which wasn't really much of a road then, and riding to school on my bike, and then being very friendly with the girl whose father was the baker here, Jo Johnson. Her name was Christabel, and I used to see a lot of her in grade 1 and 2 and 3 because, well, that's just what we did. We used to ride down the street, two of us on this little bike together, to her place for lunch. Until we got into trouble with the teacher, she'd stand at the corner and watch us and then report back to our parents, as we weren't supposed to do that. And that's a very early memory. I remember that clearly. School was easy, as far as I can remember. We're at the primary school here, and there was no... I don't remember much, not getting into much trouble apart from riding the bike bit.
Was it a large
It was a little bike
group?
With wheels like this. You mean the bike or the school?
No, the school
the school wasn't a bad size when we were there.
It
would have been... I started in 1946 and we had our 60-year, reunion for grades 1 and grade 7 a few years ago, whenever the 60 years rolled over. And we had quite a lot of people come to that who were either there in grade 1 or grade 7. We used both years to make it a bit more open for people.
So I could go.
Yes. Not really. But, it was a good school, yeah. But, I mean, it was just the one building when I was there. They did put a temporary one there, which arrived when you entered that building. And unlike now, same number of kids nearly. No, not quite, but lots of rooms now.
Mm.
And we just had the one stone building.
Mm.
Cold as cold. Yeah.
Yeah, my early childhood, well, we lived out of the town, about 3 km out of the town. Well, we nearly live there now. But when my sister started school, she did...
She's older than you.
She's older than you, 3 years older than I am. And when I started school, we came into town and we rented a house up in Hill Street until I was about grade 5 or 6, and then we went back to live up to Bald Hill, what we call Bald Hill. And, we had only one bike to start with, a fixed-wheel bike, and we used to ride to school, and the road was terrible down toward the park. It was shocking. And we used to walk up through, or go through the park on the way home, and the magpies used to swoop at us. I remember one morning there was my brother and I think we all had bikes then, and there was about 3 Hearn boys, Brian Hearn, you know, with the late Brian, he was the same year as I was, and we had to come over Bald Hill. And Bald Hill at that stage, there was a fence, it was only a single lane, and you couldn't pass on it, you had to wait, if you were two cars coming, you had to wait for one or the other. And this morning, silly kids, it was a drizzly morning, and the idea was you close your eyes and took your hands off the handlebars and see how far you get down the road, and I was on the outside and my pedal hit the fence post. Of course, I didn't go to school that day, did I? Anningston Primary was a good school. We had Minnie Smith, who was the school teacher in grade 1, and she taught her father and my father, and she taught us too.
Mm.
And yes, and Minnie, I thought she was great until she gave me slap behind on the leg Sunday for doing something wrong. I don't know what it was, instead of standing in the corner. But yeah, the primary school was good then, and when I was in year 4, they had this temporary classroom, and that was still there until a couple of years
ago. When our grandchildren were there.
Their grandchildren. It was still there until a couple of years ago, the temporary classroom.
Mm.
What else?
So can you recall any stories of mischief?
Mischief.
Oh, what about drinking the water out the tank with the dead birds in it?
Well, that's not mischief. I mean, we used to go up through the park, and who was my brother? I think Jeff was with me. And we had a drink out of the tank, and then we climbed up a still on our bikes and looked into the top of the tank. It was open tank and there was two dead magpies in there. With so much for
they're still here.
They're still here. Yeah. Mm. As I mentioned, it must have been in early years at primary school that we had to have this drill of going across the road into this trench or what they called it. But any mischief? I don't know.
I don't know. Mischief. You're older than me. Yeah.
There used to be a drone under the main street down here by
the supermarket. Mm.
And we used to go down through there. And it was all bricked up, but it was all full of cobwebs, I think, because we went down through. Mischief, I don't know. When we were going to high school, I know we used to have a smoke.
Under the bridge again?
Under the bridge down there, have a smoke. One morning, I was offered a cigarette. We used to pinch our old man's Rollums, you see, and then he said, "Oh, I have this." And this is Jeff. I won't mention his other name. I thought it was a bit funny. Anyway, he put in one of these little halfpenny crackers in it. And of course, you know what happened.
You lit up.
You survived that one.
There used to be a horse trough down here by the children's playground. One morning it was covered over with ice, you know. One of us, I don't know, tried to walk on it. It didn't work. No, I don't know.
One of the things that boys did, I suppose.
Yeah. We used to, when we were going home, it was always on the way home. On the left-hand side, as you went over Bald Hill, was a brook of currants. And we used to help ourselves to these currants when they were ripe.
Was there much interaction between the towns with the youth?
No.
Not like that. There was no sport for young children. At all. I mean, not when we were in primary school.
Oh, well, I was in that first SAP Sars.
Yeah, but that was a school one, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah, there wasn't anything else. Not like the town footy now has.
Yeah, but that SAP Sars team was just not just Angaston, it was a Bryce and a Knight.
Yeah, it was still a school one, though,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, still a school one. Mm. Yeah.
No, I don't remember much doing anything with other towns until, well, we went to Newry High, and then as we got to be teenagers, well, then we had church groups, which we all went to, and youth groups, and it was congregational church over here that we were part of, and there was other youth groups. I mean, the Lutherans here in Angaston had their own youth group, and we'd sometimes invite each other to whatever we were doing, but don't recall anything much for young children.
What about entertainment? What would you do for entertainment?
You had...
Gymnasium
up in the
show hall. Yeah, that was good.
You had that.
I remember the first night, it was supposed to finish at 9 o'clock, and we were still living down here, and must have been a bit late, because when I came down here, Dad was out in front of the town hall, he was looking for me. That was good fun.
One of the bank manager's wives... not one of his wives, a bank manager's wife, that sounds better. She was a ballet teacher, and we had ballet in here for some years while he was in the bank, at National Bank here. And there was quite a lot of kids would come to that, and I remember coming to that, as my sisters did, and we did concerts here in the hall and all that sort of thing. And that would have been, I was at high school when they left, so I don't know how long they were actually here. That was, what was her name? She was Mrs. Paternoster, but I can't think what her name, first name was. No. But we did that. But I mean, mostly we didn't do stuff at weekends with sport or anything, because I don't think there was anything that I can remember.
No, because there wasn't any, like these days, there's footy and cricket and netball right down to kids like this. But there was A and B grade football when I was playing, and that was all.
Yeah, well, when I played basketball, which it was in those days, there was, and that was after I left school, and there was only the three teams. There was no junior teams.
No.
Only three. You sort of had to be a bit grown up to do some of those things in those days, yeah. But, I mean, we mostly amused ourselves, or we had friends, or our parents' friends, we would go and visit them and
visit,
and they all had kids, the same as everybody had kids. And so we would visit them, or we'd go away on holidays with our parents' friends who all, that sort of thing. So, yeah, I think we just made our own own fun at the weekends. Of course, we all went to church on Sunday and had Sunday school and all the things that you did in those days. This is in the 40s and the 50s.
Can you recall any particular songs?
As in sort of like popular type songs?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness me. Well, we only had a radio.
In youth. I would have said Bill Haley in the comments. Rock Around the Clock.
I'll go Mario Lanza. We were talking about him this morning. Mario Lanza, and one lady there, she said, well, she mentioned him to her grandchildren, and they said, who's he? I mean, that's about, yes, I used to like Mario Lanza too, and it was in the 50s. But before then, we had a radio on the mantelpiece in the kitchen home, and whatever Dad wanted to listen to was what we listened to. End of story.
That's about right, too.
Yeah, we didn't listen to anything other than what Dad listened to the news or whatever it was, and that would be that.
We used to listen to Hagen Circus. It was a serial. It used to come on about tea time. Hagen Circus.
I don't remember. There was the Ovaltines. Ovaltines.
No, I don't remember them.
That was a bit like a club sort of thing, I suppose. You could say it's run over the radio and you could join, you know, send your entry in and you could be part of the thing. I don't know what we did or what they did, but it was just something to get you to listen to that. But I don't know when. I don't remember when that was. Was run by the Ovaltine drink mob, whoever they were. But no, I didn't go to guides or anything like that because I don't know that there was guides here. There was scouts for a little while, wasn't there?
Yeah, well, the scouts was run by the Lutheran people. And then, that was afterward, because the year I could have gone into Cubs, she was conducting Cubs. But then she was having a baby the year I could have joined and I never went to Cubs. But,
I can't think of any real songs, but
What about nursery rhymes? What nursery rhymes were popular?
Oh, yes. Well, we still know them because we had children and grandchildren. We went Humpty Dumpty or Three Blind Mice or all of those.
Lickety-clickety-clock or something. The mouse ran up the clock or...
The clock struck one or something or five or whatever it's called. Yeah. Yep, we were into those. But no, I can't think what else we did.
Going back to schooling days, what was your daily routine?
Well, get up and go to breakfast and go to school because it's taking us a while. Ride your bike to school. And then coming home, we probably had to get the cows in because Dad's milking cows, Mum and Dad milk cows. And probably, we had to get the cows in. And then we did a bit of homework and tea. Went to bed, I suppose. That was about it.
Exciting.
It was a daily life, wasn't it? Well, it was. I wouldn't have done anything else.
I had to go and get the milk 3 mornings a week where we lived on Valley Road, which is where the company kitchen is now. That was my home. That's my house, company kitchen. And we had the property there, the factory there, some years ago, and from there I had to walk up Valley Road towards the town through an orchard and up through a paddock to get the milk, which was hung on the gate by the milkman 3 mornings a week, and I had to walk that back before I went to school. That used to take a while because it was quite a walk. I couldn't ride because it was through an orchard, and I had the owner of the property of the orchard, his milk in one hand and ours in the other, and that was 3 mornings a week. I did that for quite a number of years. Used to have to go and get the milk and used to hate it. It was cold and horrible, and then go to school after that. Didn't have to milk the cow, thank goodness. But because we were, there was 4 of us, so we all had to do, we had ourselves a roster with the dishes and stuff like that, and we'd either have to clear the table or wash the dishes or put the dishes away or whatever.
And
so that we all got even, for the 3 girls. I don't think our brother did much. He was younger. He was 10 years younger than me, but the girls, we used to do all sort of thing. And then have to do the cooking on Saturday morning, that sort of thing.
Do you remember the way the shops were laid out in the main street here in Angaston? Like, has that changed much?
There's a couple of books about the shops in Angaston and where they were and who owned them. And one of them particularly goes right back to when they were first, when the Murray Street was first sort of laid out. Well, it wasn't Murray Street, it was Rosetta or something then. And who owned the, the plots and all that sort of, well, not the plots, the allotments and all that sort of thing there. And I mean, I remember your Dunder Farmers, which is now the supermarket, you know, with the flying fox thing, I think that's what they called them, where they put the money in the thingy and pinged it across to the lady upstairs and she pinged the change back again. Yeah, that was all part of the go then.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit more?
Oh, well, you'd give your money to the assistant and she, if you had a, whatever it was, pounds, whatever the money was, and then she'd send that with the docket up to the lady who was sitting up in the centre of the store, and she would deal with the docket paperwork, I suppose, and then send the change back to give it to the people in the shop didn't actually have change. They didn't deal with the money. It was this one lady sitting up the top who would deal with the money. And it was these things... I suppose there was probably three or four of them in the shop from each corner, probably, when I think about it, and from the drapery or the groceries or the men's section or the hardware, and they would all fling them into the middle, upstairs, she'd sit up in a bit of a, I'd say a throne, but almost like a throne, and that was her job to deal with all that sort of thing, and that was your Dunder Farmers or the supermarket now as it is, before that was rebuilt.
Show days were a big thing, weren't they?
They were, yes, I can remember the shows, We used to, the side shows, you know, and everybody come out in their very best clothes, as they did then, because the show was pretty important. Nowadays we don't tend to worry about what we wear, we just go. But, he's been involved with the horses ever since he was about 16, I suppose. I assisted with the catering there for probably 25 years or more for the lunches for everybody. And then also when we had the glacé fruit factory, we would put a display in every year in the show hall, and that would take a while to sort of get the fruit organised and put it in and collect it afterwards.
That was every year?
Every year, yes. Dad and I used to do that, put a display in of glacé fruit. But as far as going when I was a child, all I really remember is actually all going and being all dressed up and seeing all the young people older than us, you know, that was where they all sort of appeared with their boyfriends and their girlfriends and all that sort of thing. But I didn't have a lot of... I didn't do anything at the show except just went. You know, we just went to the show. But Bill was actually involved with it.
Yeah, well, I started when I was...
16?
16, I think it was, the year I left school.
Yes.
Dad's cousin, so he used to be involved with the horse section of the show. And they were about what I am now. and they had these heavy old jumps that we used. And they were looking for someone younger to help. So that's how I got started with them. And, yes, been there ever since.
What sort of activities would be taking place then for the show?
Just for the horse part that I was involved with, or... Oh, with other parts of it too, but mainly the horses. We had three lots of jumps anyway, these great heavy things. And they were hunter jumps, they called hunter jumps. And then the show jumping came in, you know, the ones that they use nowadays. And I remember the first year we had it, and the old boys, this won't last. And it has lasted. Yeah, and it's got more professional as the years go on, and we're probably one of the better shows as far as the country shows, as far as the show jumping is concerned. We're recognised as one of the better shows now. There's a lot of shows are not using, having show jumping because you've got to get volunteers and people know what's doing. Fortunately, we've got a chap on our committee who is heavily involved in the ESA, it's the Equestrian Federation. He knows all the rules and he's very helpful. So, it's taken a load off now because we're only amateurs.
I remember going back to the show. This isn't like was a child. This is when, this would have been in about the 70s, I would say, at a guess, but where they used to have a cabaret on the Oval on the Saturday night. And we'll remember, after it was all over, because you were on the committee, and there'd be... Bruce Dakey from Angerson would have his truck on the back for the band to be sitting on, and then we'd have to go in and pick up all the cups and rubbish and stuff all off the oval. This would be like midnight or later in our fancy clothes and shoes, so that the horses could be there again on the Sunday too. And everything had to go. And, I mean, there would be chairs and tables and it got all out the oval. It was only for a few years, the cabarets but it was really... It was quite good fun if you had a good night.
But it wasn't really profitable. Couldn't make much money out of it.
No, but that would have been in the 70s, I reckon.
Yeah, it would have been.
At that time, I remember that very clearly, picking up rubbish and in my fancy stuff.
I've been president, so...
He's been president of the show, yes.
So it's a big part of your life then, really.
Oh, the show, it's equal to a lot of other things.
It's only once a year, but there's always... work to be done up to it, you know.
It's ongoing.
We're sort of working towards the show next year in February. But, and we've been involved in other things, haven't we? When the kids grew up, I was involved with the Scouts, the Scout Committee.
But they used to do stuff at the show too.
They used to do stuff at the show. I was secretary for 5 years. I've been secretary for five. When I went in secretary for these things, I'd say I'll do it for 5 years and then somebody else can do it. So I've been secretary of the Scouts, the Bowling Club,
Agriculture Bureau.
What else?
Oh, I don't know.
Nuts about it anyway.
Never home.
Yeah, so we've always been involved with things in the town. And someone said, well, how'd you get involved? Well, I was in Scouts, the boys are in it, so you've got to go and support them. I remember I didn't do any training, but there's another chap and I. They met on a Thursday night, and there was about 40 kids. And Ray was only a trainer. I didn't do any training because you had to be a qualified. But I helped Ray because, you know, a couple of lads there nearly had their ears clipped, really. But you couldn't do it. But, you know, just trying to keep law and order. But, yeah, we used to have a lot of fun doing that with the kids. And the kids were really good, except just one or two, but there you go. That was life. Mm. And it'd be the same these days, I should imagine. So, yeah, and then the Agriculture Bureau, I thought I married, wasn't
you
I?
Were going to the... No, because we went to Rural Youth.
Oh, that's right, we were in Rural Youth.
Rural Youth, until we got married, and then you went to the Bureau after you left.
Yeah, we used to meet here.
And that's been going for a long time, the Bureau and Angerston Agricultural Bureau. They've had their 120...
Grandfather and father and myself, with three generations, got life membership of the Bureau. And the centenary, we had a subcommittee. We wondered what we could do to celebrate our centenary. Have you seen the horse and plough monument down the street? You'd better have a look at it.
The children's playground.
The children's playground.
I have seen it,
Well, I was the chairperson of that committee. And we got that going, and got hold of Chris Radford from Freeling, who was a sculptor or whatever he was. He came along to the meeting. This is going to be the model that we're working from. And I said, okay.
Of the horse.
Anyway, made a frame up of 3/4-inch piping or something. The boys did it at work. Yeah, and it was fiberglass, but now it's been changed. It's just bronze now, but we never had any money. We tried to raise money to... Chris Radford did everything gratis. He didn't charge for his time. All we did was supply him with stuff. And he did over in the Freeling shed at the park. And it was such a cold place, we used to cut firewood over there for him. And then we brought him home on our trailer.
The horse.
And he finished it off in our factory up here.
Yeah.
And the night before he was unveiled, that we'd made a base for it. And it was 3 or 4 people could lift it, you see. And we were lifting this horse around. And some bloke came down the street. He nearly ran into the trees on the opposite side of the road, looking at us, carrying this horse around. And then you had to...
That night he says, can you make something to cover it over because we need to have it unveiled? I mean, just like that, you make something to unveil a horse. Yes, I did. Got some old sheets out and threw them together, but yeah.
Mm, that was a great day.
You said something to Four about Vintage Festival. We were both involved with that, and I remember in here, in the town hall here, when we were doing the Queen selection things, we'd have a cabaret here in Angaston, and there was a guy called Laurie Williams who used to somehow, I don't know how he knew how to do this, but we would have the whole ceiling covered in streamers from a centre point, and we would be cutting streamers, and then they would attach them all to rope to strings either side, and then haul it up to the roof. And we did that for several times because it was every second year.
Yeah.
And then we'd have a cabaret here in the hall, and you know, set up with tables and people, and you always had a full house.
You know, when they had, there was a circus here, and remember they had to have his elephant races down the street with all the local councillors on?
That's right, they did, didn't they? Yeah. Lacey Hearn was on an elephant, wasn't he?
Yeah, so it was Fritz Hiltz, Bill Shamel.
Yeah.
Who else? Lacey Hearn.
I can't remember what that was for. We remember when we were first married, there would be a hospital ball here, a golf club would have an institute and the golf club, and they would all have sherry party sort of party things first, and there'd be three or four of these things every year to raise money, and we'd all come out in our finery and have a great time. And they were, and that was in the 60s, 70s.
60s, because that was the first time I took you out, the institute ball.
Oh, so you tell everybody.
It was.
Is there a story here?
Well, he thinks there is.
We've sort of grown up together, but she used to be a friend of my brother when she was at high school.
Yeah, he was my boyfriend when I was at high school. Not him, but.
Anyway, we're involved with the youth group, the church.
Through the church, CYF, through both congregations, it was, and now it's uniting. So,
Rural youth, we were. I think you were secretary and I was president.
Probably.
And sort of things. Anyway, we were talking on the phone one night about one of those, I suppose. You go to the institute ball. No, I haven't been asked yet. And I said, I'll ask you. And then when I got off the phone, I thought, what the devil did I do that for? Anyway, the rest is history.
55 years later. or more. Never mind. That's life. Yes. But there was always plenty to do as teenagers here in the town, because
there was pictures here twice a week.
And then there was our church youth group, and then we had rural youth as well, which we all went to that as well. The Lutherans also had their own youth group, and Cainton and Eden Valley and Truro all had little youth groups associated through the churches. The churches all had a great... I mean, the Methodists did too for a while, I reckon.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Before they...
They wouldn't have money there, but they had
it away, yeah. But there was always lots to do, and you could go to the pictures twice a week, and whereas now there's precious little...
You go to the pub.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not. We had great social lives.
We never had any money.
But we had a great time. We did, because there was always people around, and you could always. There was always something on. And being in rural youth, the club here in the Barossa, and then there was one at Kapunda, and they, or Freeling and Tully, and they all had events, and so we'd all go to theirs, and they'd come to ours.
We used to have a rally once a year where everybody. Come to one club.
Yes, yeah.
And
we'd have
competitions and...
Ball and all sorts of things.
Start off with the ball on Friday night.
There was no shortage of entertainment.
Then we had debating.
Debating.
Anybody?
Well, I did. You did not.
Ian and your sister and I, we won the B grade debate one night.
I didn't like debating.
There was a family from Tarlee, and they were Catholics, and they had about 17 in the family. And their father used to coach them in debating, you see, and if you could beat them, you're going pretty well. Anyway, we beat them that night.
I didn't like that.
Any stories that were passed down to you by your parents?
Yes, he's got a whole... You ask him about the quarry, and Dad said, or Grandpa said... Or Grandpa died when you were what, 8 or 10?
No. Grandpa died when I was... 14.
Oh, no, my grandpa died when I was 8.
14, right. 15.
Yeah, yeah.
So I still remember the day he died.
Yeah.
He died at home, and he wanted to see my brother and I, and I still see him lying in the bed, and he was a real old grey man. And he got an MBE for his community work, community, Angston was 175 years last year, and there's a group of us from the Angston Panorama Historical Society getting a list of names that people have...
175 names
have had an influence in the town, you know. Well, we've had these sort of subcommittees, and Viv's been on it, and some of the stories he comes up with.
It's been the best committee we've ever been on. Talk about laugh.
Yes.
I was checking back as to, a while ago, choirs and general music in Angaston, and in 1944, was the first time they had a combined choir in Angaston for the Christmas celebrations. Yeah. Christmas carols, and that I'm not sure where that one was, but I know later ones were held in the street between the Sunrise Bakery. There's a street there that goes down to Bowling Club, and it was in the street then. I can still see, and I mean, there must have been all of about five or six, the lights, the fairy lights in the trees, you know, how that would get a, would grab a child. Well, I can still see the lights in those trees by the bakery.
Yeah.
They're gone now, a lot of those trees, but they're still by the mill, the old mill there. And then they went down to the playground, and we used to sing. And then we were in the church choir here in 55 or thereabouts. And then they did the Christmas programs were down in the playground, well, where the horse is now, down there. And
then they did in the park.
Yeah, then they went up to the park because it was not enough room in the playground for everybody that used to come. And then it was in the park, and we used to sit up in the grandstand, and people would drive on the oval in their cars and sit in their cars on the oval, as if you'd be allowed to do that today. But they did. And then it was so cold because the grandstand faces the east and the winds would come in from the south. It was freezing up there because we always seem to get a cold night. This is Christmas time, before global warming. And then we eventually got them down here to the town hall. And I'm not quite sure of the year. I've got it there home. And then we've had them in the town hall. So we've had Christmas carols in Angaston continuously since 1944. And we have been... you missed 1 year, two or three years ago, when you were sick.
Yeah.
And otherwise, I haven't missed one ever. Always been to one, because my parents used to take us. And then once we got to be in a choir... And we've both been in the choir ever since, and never missed one. Mm.
Do you have any images of the quarry?
I used to play over there, and I remember one old chap, they had these pneumatic drills, and they were very heavy. We couldn't lift them as kids. And one old chap was named Simon Hatch, and he used to smoke a cherry wood pipe. And he'd be drilling away, and... because we couldn't handle it just to start it with, but once it got down, it was sort of equilibrium that you didn't have to hang on to the thing. And I would hang on to it, and Simon would stand back and smoke his pipe. He used to lick his lips all the time. Oh, that's all I know.
Smoked out, he was.
Smoked out.
Yeah, we've got a few quarry photos. Some of the marble from the quarry there has made the staircase in Australia House in London.
Hmm. Mm. And we've got photos
of that.
Photos
of the staircase, that.
We went there and we've had a look.
Mm.
And we got there and they said, oh, you can't go in there really. And then I told him a story. Oh, well, okay, so we got the wrong treatment then. And, but he wouldn't allow us to take any photos.
No, it was not a bit Australia disappointing. House. Whether or not something to do with security.
It was, I think.
Yeah, don't know. But anyway, we've got a book with the photo in there. And we've also got pictures of the slabs of marble when they got the ground.
The War Memorial on North Terrace.
Where they have the Anzac Day services.
Yes. That's a lot of Angston and Grandpa's marble. And that, he never ever got paid for it. The company that was doing it went broke and Grandpa never got any money for it. Mm. It's nearly sent him broke. The mason, we call him was Henschke from Tanunda, Julius Henschke.
Mm.
He did all the angel thing in the carving, or what they call it down. And the greyer marble on the outside came from Macclesfield.
Angaston's
white marble. Mm. It's supposed to be the best marble out of Italy. But the old thing is that even in those days, it was cheaper to, just about cheaper to import it from Italy than it was to do it, get it from here. Not a lot now, I don't think. Well, my data says it's still best. Stuff is down here, but they haven't been down there.
When you say down here, not under the table.
underground.
Underground up there, yes, yeah. The quarry, yeah.
He said the best marble is still down there, but that was his story.
They still, still getting it out the ground up there.
Yeah.
I mean, not only a couple of weeks ago, you get a phone call to say we're going to be blasting and, you know, let you know the time that they're going to do it.
Mm.
And I don't know what they're, I mean, I didn't ask what they were doing, but what they're, but they're obviously breaking up a bit more up there for it. Mm.
And is that common, the blasting up there?
No, it might be there. Two or three times a year, perhaps, if it's that.
But it used to be every day,
years
ago.
Not often.